Now, we welcome on an esteemed member of the station, a gentleman about town, Daryl Ryder, joins us, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I'm on the Struggle Bus, buddy. Welcome to the show.
You're all out of fresh ideas, huh?
I think I might have run into that. Yeah, I just have to throw out the number and then reset and I'll be fine.
Just used all the good material in the first couple hours, did you?
It was four.
Does anybody else find...
It's a lot of time.
Anybody else find this game a little tough to talk about because it's so exciting, but you know it might only be one game. And there's still a hefty, hefty mountain to climb if you want to get back to relevance. So, like, I want to enjoy it, but I also know that, like, it could be fool's gold eventually.
Well, don't tell Juan Thornhill that. He doesn't want to hear any of that nonsense. They got a lot of AFC games to play right now. They feel like they got a shot to maybe get themselves relevant here. It's going to take about a month and a half to do that and them not losing any games between now and then. But, you know, and also it would take them doing something this franchise has never done in the expansion era, and that's win more than four games in a row. So... but hey, you know what? I'm intrigued. All of a sudden, I'm intrigued after watching yesterday's win over the Ravens. They have my attention again.
Daryl, does this prove it was a Deshaun Watson problem the entire time?
Yes. Yes.
Easy there.
Could not be quicker to answer. I like that, Daryl.
I heard that about you.
The writing's on.
Well, this is quick to answer. Come on.
I was going to give a good answer. Come
family
on.
Family show.
Come on.
If you look at Kevin Stefanski's coaching resume here, he wins with every quarterback but Deshaun Watson. I mean, it's plain as day. And, you know, five of the last seven Browns games started by players not named Deshaun Watson. Those quarterbacks, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, have thrown for 300 yards in five of those games, and I am including in that list the throwaway, we already made the playoffs, nothing to play for game last year to wrap up the regular season against the Cincinnati Bengals. So in the last six games in which the Cleveland Browns were actually trying to win without Deshaun Watson on the field, the starting quarterbacks threw for 300 yards in five of those. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say the problem is Deshaun Watson can't play anymore. The offensive line magically looked like it knew what it was doing yesterday. Yes, we got the full Jameis Winston experience where everyone was huffing and puffing into paper bags at the end of the game, but the bottom line is he stepped in, he stepped up. We're not sitting here making excuses about rust because it was his first start since September of 2022 and all these other things that we have been twisting and turning in for Deshaun Watson. He went out and performed, and the Browns beat one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team, in the NFL in the Baltimore Ravens. So, yeah, I'd say the problem's Deshaun Watson.
If Stonehands Kyle Hamilton actually catches the game-clinching INT instead of, whoops, how different do you look about that game if the Browns actually lose that game on a Jameis pick?
Not very much, and here's why. Because for me, it was more about how the team looked than the final score. Because I went in not expecting the Browns to win that football game. I was asking for the bare minimum, and that was that the thing would be watchable, okay? That the offense would look competent, and that's exactly what happened yesterday. Bonus, they won the game. But the offense looked organized. The pre-snap penalties were minimized. The offensive line looked like they were knowing how to block all of a sudden again. And I think a big reason why is because you saw Jameis Winston not bailing from the pocket the moment he got the football in his hands. He was, stepping through, whether it was front, back, left, right, the pressure that he was getting, and he was throwing the football vertically down the field. Cedric Tillman, a guy that, this organization had been pumping up all offseason, right? Nine targets, seven catches, 99 yards, and they went to him at one of the most critical points in the game, and he got the game-winning touchdown. So, the wide receiving core all of a sudden looked like they were competent, right? Because that was part of the conversation. Well, maybe the supporting cast around Deshaun's not all that good. Well, again, I think that yesterday showed us the problem was always the quarterback, and you know, this offense actually runs when he's not on the field.
Daryl, how long does the bar stay watchability and entertaining offensively? Is that a 1 week thing? Is that a 3 week thing? Like, when until the bar like changes again?
For me, it's through the rest of the season, because I think the season's shot now. Even though they're 2-6, I mean, the reality is they have to go, I think, 8-1 the rest of the way, at least from my standpoint, for them to have a legit chance to make the playoffs. So they can lose one more game, and you look at that schedule, and there's multiple losses still on that schedule. Maybe, to Juan Thornhill's point, okay, let's say they lose two games the rest of the way. That leaves them at 9-8. And if they win all the AFC tiebreakers, I don't know, maybe they backdoor their way into the number 7th playoff seed in the AFC. But I just don't even feel like that's a legitimate conversation unless they rip off 4 or 5 games in a row and get themselves back to 500. And then we can start having that conversation again. But for me, until it gets to that point, Nick, I just, you know, for fans, the fans' sake, I hope that the games are entertaining and, you know, at least fun to watch, even if they don't ultimately end up winning them.
Are the Browns still trading everyone on a final year deal?
I think Andrew Berry is still going to answer the phone, no question about it. And, you know, I don't want to put a whole lot of pressure on this upcoming game next week against the LA Chargers, but, you know, there's a bit of a difference between being 3-6 and 2-7. So I still feel like if Andrew Berry can get value for guys, like the one guy I would not trade is Jameis Winston. I'd like to see what's there. And again, this week will probably, play a lot into that. But I'm anticipating I'm going to get a similar performance, except for, I don't know, maybe some Charger defenders will actually catch footballs thrown to them by Jameis. But that's neither here nor there. Just because of the landscape at that position right now, you know, maybe you want to have an extended look and Jameis can be a bridge quarterback until you figure this thing out. I'm just kind of spitballing here out loud. But, you know, guys like Za'Darius, you know, Rodney McLeod, Elijah Moore, that are on those final years of their contracts, and if there's some value there, I think Andrew Berry does have a responsibility considering where they are in the standings. You know, if he can extract some value there and get what he wants for them, yeah, I can definitely see them still making moves before the trade deadline to add some additional draft assets in the future.
Daryl, did DeJuan Jones Wally Pip Jed Wills yesterday?
Probably should, right? I mean, I look, I've been critical of DeJuan. I felt that both him and Jed Wills, neither one of them came back from their knee injuries in shape. I kind of put that on the strength and conditioning and the coaching staffs. That would have never happened if Bill Callahan was here, that's for sure. But I thought he played really well yesterday. So I, based on how that line performed together, I would absolutely stick with that offensive line until circumstances dictate you make a change. Because in 6 straight weeks, I believe it's 7 different combinations that they've used up front. Those 5 guys yesterday played really, really well. I'd like to see them get an opportunity to maybe see if they can work together here as a unit multiple weeks and, you know, maybe things settle down offensively in the trenches.
Daryl, it was a confusing game for the defense in many respects. No Denzel now, no JOK. We got to talk about that. But also, Lamar almost threw for 300 yards. Derrick Henry almost averaged 7 yards a carry. Like, in many respects, the defense...
Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
I mean, in many respects, the defense looked really good. And on other sides of it, I really do wonder if maybe it just kind of showed what happens if there is no JOK and no Denzel Ward, and maybe we do have something to worry about moving forward.
They won the game. They gave up less than 25 points. They cooled off the hottest team, came in here winning 5 games in a row after an 0-2 start. Lamar Jackson was setting the world afire. Derrick Henry was just destroying fools. And, you know, they kept Derek. He was, I think the number was 150 yards a game he was putting up.
125 a game.
125 a game. Yeah, kept him, you know, kept him under 75 yards. I think that's a pretty good job by the defense.
I have no idea why they didn't run the ball more with Henry. He was averaging 6.5 yards a pop, and they just didn't do it.
Thank you, cards are in the mail. But, again, you know.
I know. Our ball made some weird decisions.
Yeah, but again, as I say, in this league, the great teams are going to put points on the board. They're going to make big plays. Defenses are the rule book is written against defense. Like, that is a fact. So the bottom line is, because I was really worried that Lamar was going to throw a touchdown in the closing seconds there to beat the Browns, but it didn't happen. They escaped by the skin of their teeth, and they won the football game. And so from my standpoint, the defense was just good enough, right? And it needed to be, because this time you couldn't blame the offense, right? So many games before, we're sitting there blaming the offense, and this time it was on the defense to do their part, because the offense did theirs, and like I said, they escaped, literally.
Daryl, Denzel Ward, concussion number 6. Yeah. I'm just curious where we're at with Denzel, and whether every time, you know, something like this happens, whether there's going to be an evaluation period for him, or whether it's kind of like Tua, that the expectation is just to keep playing until he says otherwise.
Well, and that's why I asked Kevin Stefanski the question I asked him today, Nick, about, hey, you know, at what point does the volume of concussions become a concern? And Stefanski kind of sidestepped, and he just said, hey, he's getting the, you know, great medical care. I leave it in their hands. We've talked to Denzel going into the season, and he has made it very clear that he is going to keep playing the game as long as he can play it. He said he has told us repeatedly how he's not concerned about the concussions, because he's confident in the information he's receiving from the medical staff. Both not just with the team, but independent neurologists and doctors that he has been working with. He changed the helmet this year that he wears, hoping that that would help with this. So me personally, am I worried for him? Yeah, sure, because I see the older NFL players, and I see what condition they are in. Now, granted, they're no longer rolling carpet on top of concrete floors to play football games on these days like they used to do, but you know, we now know scientifically, you know, how damaging concussions can be. And so he's at 6 now, and you know, that's obviously it's in his hands to make those decisions. And I fully expect the next time we talk to Denzel, what I just got done telling you will be the message coming from him, and I expect that he'll return whenever he clears the protocol.
Browns ramped up Nick Chubb's usage in this game relative to the first game. He got 16 total carries in this one, and I mean, he didn't average anything spectacular, 3.3 yards per carry. How did you
ripped off a 15 yarder though? Let's give him some love for that. That was the first time we got to see a little burst from him. So I think incrementally, you know, week one to week two, like what we see, and, you know, let's see how it goes going forward. And if it stays on this trajectory, I think he's going to have a breakout game, Jonathan.
Are we getting to that 20-yard or 20-carry mark, or is that something that they're going to treat him like in the past, where he never really got many carries more than that?
He got 16 yesterday, so I think that, you know, that will be the sweet spot, anywhere from 15 to 20 carries, depending on the flow of the game and what the scoreboard's saying, and you know, obviously what success they may or may not be having on the ground. But let's be honest about it, that's what it's really kind of always been with him, and that's how Stefanski has done it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's just kind of getting him back into that sweet spot where he has been in previous years. I don't expect his workload to go beyond where it's been in previous years, not by any stretch, because that's just not how Kevin Stefanski has spread the football around.
Daryl, I need 2 grades, one for Miles Garrett's Terminator costume for Halloween, and the other for the renderings of the Never Gonna Happen Burke Airport Dome.
A+, Schwarzenegger approved. I'm sure you saw the post on X where he.
I love it.
He gave the. Do that again, please. Was that Kermit the Frog or was that supposed to be?
I love it.
That was a little better.
It was almost Cookie Monster, though.
That's a little Kermit slash Cookie Monster equals the Terminator. I love it. And then as far as the renderings go, and I guess Destination Cleveland's a part of that now. It seems like right now everyone's ganging up on the Haslams. and the other complication, too, is the situation at Gateway that Signal Cleveland reported on today. There's a $40 million shortfall right now. Syntax revenue's not able to cover the repairs needed at the ballpark and the arena, and now the Browns want some county help. Like there's going to be some difficult conversations happening here when it comes to the maintenance, upkeep, and construction of these facilities, because the costs to do so keep skyrocketing. But I'm going to give those renderings that are never going to happen at Burke Lakefront Airport, I'm going to give them a C, because the thing that I paid attention to was the ingress and the egress. And all I see is just one traffic nightmare after another. So it's a pretty picture. It's a pretty drawing. But I think from a realistic, actually going to never happen standpoint, yeah, it's never going to happen.
I'm actually going to have some renderings drawn up of useful politicians.
Let me guess. It's going to be a blank white sheet piece of paper.
We'll see. I don't want to get too far ahead of it. Again, I'm not the rendering guy. Just pay the rendering guy, and then he does the rendering.
Oh, okay.
And I come out and say, this is what it should look like.
I was going to say, because I think I'm looking at one of those renderings right now. And in fact, I can confirm it is a blank sheet of white paper.
Daryl, appreciate you, buddy.
Have a great week, guys. Talk to you.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Great show with Daryl. React to what he had to say, including Miles Gertz Terminator. Next on 92.3 The Fan.